Here's Andy Udman.
And finally, new rule, if you believe you need to take all the pills the pharmaceutical industry says you do, then you're already on drugs.
If you notice changes in behavior such as a powerful, overwhelming desire to kill the person you love most, call your doctor right away.
Listing the side effects were part of a deal to allow the drug makers to advertise directly to consumers on TV. Now the FDA is considering shortening these lists, limiting the disclosures to those they deem serious and actionable.
Severe liver problems, some fatal, were reported.
50 years ago, children didn't even get type 2 diabetes. Now, it's an emerging epidemic, as are a long list of ailments, which used to be rare and have now been mainstreamed. Things like asthma and autism and acid reflux and arthritis, allergies, adult acne, attention deficit disorder. And that's just the A's.
Comedian Bill Maher making the point about medicine. So he's not just a comedian. He's a crusader. We're getting more and more crusaders. In just a moment, we're going to meet an amazing man. You have heard him on this show before. When I think of all the stories, Pam Colleen, that I share with people socially off the air, I think of David.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those stories that a lot of people are not ready to hear because it is so powerful. David Carmichael, let me get right to the point, took the life of his own son in a hotel in South London. He was under the influence of powerful drugs to deal with depression. He is doing something amazing with his life, and we're going to share that story in just a moment. So, Pam, would you welcome our friend, and I consider him a friend, David Carmichael,
right,
to the show.
It's an honor to have him again on the show this morning. David Carmichael is...
Nice to be back on the show.
Oh, it's great to have you back, and I know you have a lot of updates for us. But first, I think I'd like to ask you your feedback on this announcement that Diane Sawyer aired on Tuesday night about the FDA distilling down the side effects of many of the pharmaceutical ads that we see on the American stations, even here in Canada.
It's frightening. You know, people need to know what they're consuming, and when they're dealing with prescription drugs, people don't realize it's, you know, and I think Terrence Young, who's a conservative member of parliament from Oakville, says it best, it's poison in healthy doses, and people don't realize what they're taking is no different than illicit drugs, and we just take them, and we misuse them, and we abuse them, and I misused my drug Paxil when I became homicidally psychotic back in 2004, and now critical for people to know their drugs. And when they stop making people aware of the side effects, because, you know, I know the argument from the FDA is, you know, people aren't listening anyway, you've got to realize that death is a very real side effect of many of these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
David, Pam and I joke quite often about these ads on ABC News because I watch ABC News every evening and I always have to brace myself for the commercials. 80% of them are from drug companies, and it seems like 50% of the commercial is a warning about how if you take this drug, yeah, it may help you in some areas, but your eyes will bulge and fall out, you'll have permanent diarrhea, and you may die. And I'm always left with who in their right mind would take such a drug. So when we heard this week that they're thinking of shortening that portion of the commercial, the question was, is that a good thing? Let me just ask you, because we're going to play Diane Sawyer's report in just a moment. Pam, is that a good thing?
I think it's an insult to our intelligence. You know, basically they're saying we're going to distill down those side effect lists because people, when they're listening to them, their eyes glaze over. But it's critical information. I mean, most people out there, Andy, aren't even reading their package inserts to find out these side effects. So at least in the commercials, they may have a chance of hearing it, not necessarily reading it.
Okay, let's play the report, if we could, Ryan. Diane Sawyer, this is Tuesday night of this week when she announced that the FDA is moving toward shortening the warning portion of these drug ads, which you see on the American stations in the evening.
Something you may be seeing throughout this night on your television. It's become a kind of punchline. Commercials for drugs with a never-ending list of side effects. Well, tonight, the FDA is signaling that the list is no laughing matter, and they're considering a change. Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis.
Serious risks include blood clots, stroke, or heart attack. Severe liver problems, some fatal, were reported.
The laundry list of a medicine's possible side effects can be so lengthy.
And in rare cases, may be fatal.
The lists themselves may induce side effects, like making your eyes glaze over.
Abnormal behaviors may include aggressiveness, agitation, hallucinations.
Or your ears tune out.
It can lead to coma or death.
It's the stuff of parody, mocked on Saturday Night Live.
If you notice changes in behaviors such as a powerful, overwhelming desire to kill the person you love most, call your doctor right away.
Listing the side effects were part of a deal to allow the drug makers to advertise directly to consumers on TV.
Now the FDA is considering shortening these lists, limiting the disclosures to those they deem serious and actionable.
Severe liver problems, some fatal, were reported.
They're trying to figure out if viewers are simply tuning out the side effects, including the worst harms, because the lists are just too long. So it's possible that soon, lists this long...
If you develop fever, unexplained weakness, or confusion, tell your doctor promptly.
It might be a thing of the past. Lindsay Davis, ABC News, New York.
Okay, David Carmichael, I want to ask you, there's a portion in that particular report, and I just cringed when it played because I'm thinking, I wonder how David Carmichael would react to the skit, the comedy, in which they joke about how when you take this drug, you get a powerful urge to kill someone you love. You've been through that. How do you react when you hear comedians joking about that, or do you applaud them because it makes the point?
You know, it's a great question, Andy, and it's a double-edged sword for me. I believe that we can educate through entertainment. I think it's a critical way to educate. But, you know, it is no laughing matter. It really is. It's, you know, when you've been through what, you know, my family has been through and you realize you're trying to rebuild a life from it, there's not any humor in it, but I recognize that at least that message is getting out there and hopefully it has some impact on people because those are very real side effects of these drugs.
It's only, I think, when we joke about it that people can handle it. Because, David, you know, when you were in this studio and you shared the story of the influence of Paxil on your life, on your state of mind, and how you came to London, Ontario that night, very much planning to take the life of your son and thinking you were doing your family and the world a favor, just speak, if you would, to the power of these drugs over people who are suffering from depression, something... an experience that you have lived through.
Well, these drugs, and I think the warning around these antidepressants from Health Canada came out in 2004, and it's actually the most comprehensive warning in the world. It says people on these drugs are at risk of harming themselves and or other people on antidepressants, particularly a type of antidepressant known as a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, SSRI. Prozac was the first in the group, Paxil, Zoloft, those types of drugs. And there's really points where you're at most risk. When you're first starting the drug, you go through a stage where you become really irritable and suicidal. And you know, for me, I went through that, and I had suicidal ideation, and I thought it was the illness, not the drug, so I increased my dosage. A big issue around misuse, no question. But, you know, what's sad is it's happening much more commonly than I've ever thought. And with young people today, they're abusing these drugs. They go to parties, and they randomly take what's out of their family's medicine cabinets and have no idea what the side effects might be. You increase the dosage, you become psychotic, and I became delusional, and I had five delusions, and my son had permanent brain damage. He was in living hell. He was going to kill my daughter, hurt my wife, and hurt other children, and those are very real delusions. They're fixed false beliefs, and I believe taking my son's life was in the best interest of everybody. And that's what happened on July 31st, 2004. The most vulnerable period in many cases when you're first taking the drugs for the first few weeks, or if you stop suddenly taking the drugs, I was still psychotic for 2 weeks in jail. And coming out of my psychosis in the middle of August, the most painful 3 days of my life emotionally. I just cried for 3 days while the prison guards were laughing, you know, over at the detention center. And that's another vulnerable period, or when you increase or even decrease your dosages. So these drugs are poisonous, they're lethal, and there's no way we should be downplaying the side effects. In fact, we need more people to raise the issue that We've got to be very careful on these drugs and many others. There are many drugs that can trigger psychosis.
Now, let's make a point here, though, David. CTV did an expose about your story, and people can find that on YouTube. But before this happened, you were a loving, caring, attentive husband and father, and you had a very responsible job. All of a sudden, these types of thinking behaviors hit you, and it wasn't a pattern anywhere in your history.
No, it wasn't a pattern, which is, you know, we have filed a lawsuit against GlaxoSmithKline. They've known about these side effects since the late 80s, and they've hid information in their own clinical trials to downplay the hostility or homicidal side effects of these drugs and the suicidal side effects. This is why right now I work for an organization called RISK.org. It's RXISK.org, and our CEO is a leading authority in the world in this area, Dr. David Healy from Wales.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about educating the public. I had a good career. I was making, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a year when I went on Paxil because I had a mental breakdown. It's not even clinically, if you take a look at major depressive disorder, which is how I was diagnosed, it really was a nervous breakdown in the old sense. Woke up, I was shaking one morning, I started to lose concentration, I couldn't function. And suddenly, you know, you go to the doctor and this is 2003, you put on the drug. And for a two-year period, that's the only time in my life I've ever dealt with any mental illness. I've now been off of medication for more than 3.5 years, on medication. I exercise regularly, and Pam, you'll be happy to know I eat more vegetables.
I hope more animal fat. Well, more animal fat too, right, David?
I do. I really have listened to everything you've been prescribing on the talk show with Andy. And I'm feeling quite healthy, and I deal with more day-to-day stresses today than I did before. Our life, you know, we've had to dig our way out of a very dark hole. Oh, that's the entire family, my wife, my daughter, who's now 23 years old, and myself. And, you know, I think of my daughter. She answered the door at 14 years of age for the Toronto Police, and my wife. And, you know, neither one of them have dealt with prescription drugs to deal with unquestionably post-traumatic stress disorder.
David, I want to ask you, we have to take a short commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you, what is your relationship now with your wife and daughter? How have you been able to move past this? And then we'll move to an extraordinary thing you're about to do in the coming months to publicize the good work you're doing to avoid more tragedies like the one you have lived through. We'll be back with David Carmichael and Pam Colleen in just a moment right here in London today on News Talk 1290 CJ.
Family doctor, and to this day, what they know about the drugs comes from the sales reps. They don't know all the different side effects, which is one of our target groups through RISK.org, RXISK.org. We're trying to make sure doctors have a better understanding of the lethal potential of many different prescription drugs, including antidepressants.
Let me ask you this. Recently, Bell Media, Bell Canada, had this Let's Talk Day, and it was all this focus on mental illness. Did they call you and ask you for an interview for your perspective on mental illness and prescription drugs and their possible side effects?
No, they don't like to go down that road. And, you know, in the United States right now, where David Healy has been doing a fair bit of work, the issue about mass shootings, you know, the school shootings, the Navy Yard shooter was on a drug called Trazodone, an antidepressant. A congressman from Florida, Jeff Miller, who was chair of a veterans committee, came up and said, let's take a look at this issue. It's in the news one day and it's out the next because of the incredible influence that the pharmaceutical industry has over the healthcare system. I mean, they control our healthcare system. There's no question about it. I mean, when people say to me, let's raise money to find a cure for cancer, how much money the industry would lose if we found a cure for cancer? We're never going to see it.
Yet your story and other stories are reaching the news. Awareness is growing, but we're still hearing every single week about these mass murders that are going on, in particular in the United States. And yet in 90% of these instances, there's some connection to psychiatric medications.
Well, there are. And in the case of Adam Lanza, the Newtown shooter at Senior Elementary School, you know, they know he was being treated by a psychiatrist. And, you know, his father even talked about it. He was on a prescription drug, Celexa, same category as the SSRIs. And they haven't released his psychiatric records. And one of the reasons they're saying, and this is the police, is they're afraid people will stop taking their medication. You know what? Maybe a lot of people should stop taking the medication, focus more on integrative medicine, find healthcare practitioners, nutritional consultants to help them develop a healthier lifestyle. And recognize that the quick fix, you know, pill for every ill is not the answer. to living healthy.
David, we have to take a short break for a news update, and then we are going to have a full half hour to talk to you about what you are now doing to educate people about the power of these drugs. To a certain extent, positive, but especially the negative. You're doing a bike marathon. You're coming to London. You're doing so much good work. But I did promise I was going to ask you the question, your relationship with your daughter who answered the door that dreadful day, and your wife. How do you patch together a family after what you did?
It's a lot of hard work for all three of us. But we go day by day, month to month, and things are stabilizing. It's been a long road, and it's been a difficult journey. I think they all recognize it was the drug. I'm about as clean a case of causation as you would find anywhere in the world, that Paxil induced my homicidal psychotic episode. And we hope to prove that in court, you know, with a lawsuit against GlaxoSmithKline, which was filed in October 2011.
Do you ever look in the mirror in the morning and go, David, I'm talking to you. It wasn't you. It was the drug.
That's how I live every day. I have to, you know, and we hope we can prove that it was a drug, and I think there's a strong case. I recognize it was totally out of character, and the people who do know me and have gotten to know me again since the tragedy, I think, recognize that whatever happened that day, it was a David Carmichael that we know, including my wife and daughter.
David, hold that thought. We're going to take a short break.
And finally, new rule, if you believe you need to take all the pills the pharmaceutical industry says you do, then you're already on drugs.
Bill Maher has a way with words. In just a few moments, we're going to share with you a, how would you describe it, Pam? It's humor, but it's cutting humor, and it's educational humor about the about the issues.
Well, the overuse of drugs today in society. I mean, it's Brave New World, right? It's Aldous Huxley coming to life. I mean, he warned us about this drug addiction epidemic back in the 1930s. About half of the population takes prescription drugs.
Well, David Carmichael, let me ask you about our relationship with drugs. We, in the first half hour, played the clip of Diane Sawyer announcing the FDA is moving towards shortening the warnings that we see on the evening news attached to prescription drugs. Just give us a snapshot of what is our relationship with prescription drugs today and where are we headed?
Well, I think, you know, one of the best books that's been recently published is called Pharmageddon, and that's from Dr. David Healy, who's the CEO of RISK.org, RXISK.org for your listeners, the organization that I work for. And it really, we're, you know, especially with baby boomers, you know, we are going to see an epidemic of people that feel that the pill is the solution for their health issues. And in fact, it's the fourth leading cause of death, adverse events to prescription drugs. And people have no idea that they're playing with poison and it's not going to get them healthy. And they're probably going to be on drugs for life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the assumption is that because it's on the marketplace, it's safe. That's where they extrapolate that information. And where you mentioned earlier, children who are taking drugs out of their parents' medicine chests and having these pill-popping parties, I mean, they're just doing this thinking that the drugs are safe to begin with and that they can get away with this, but unfortunately it's causing tragic results.
You know, baby boomers, to me, I think are critical in this. You know, they're between 50 and 60 years of age right now. Huge market for the drug companies. When the warnings came out about SSRIs, the antidepressants, in the United States, they focus on children and youth, young adults, and older adults, but they work so hard to make sure there were no warnings about baby boomers, that generation, adults. In Canada, our warning is for all ages, you know, in terms of you can harm yourself and or others on these drugs. We're talking suicide and homicide.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, they're protecting that generation at all costs because they're going to have the disposable income. They're going to be on drugs for life. And baby boomers need to stand up and say, enough is enough for my children, for my grandchildren, for my great-grandchildren, because we're on a course where we cannot sustain our health care system. It's well over $200 billion in this country. Universal health care is focused only on predominantly seeing a doctor and getting prescription drugs for free, especially low-income families, and these young children as young as two are on antipsychotics, putting on huge amounts of weight to manage normal behavior that you would see with any children that age. Mm-hmm. We have a crisis. We're beyond a crisis.
David, we have a crisis on so many levels related to health. I mean, there's a financial crisis, and that's probably the one that's going to take us down, but we have a diabetes crisis, a heart health crisis, an obesity crisis, an autism crisis. What is the state of the health of this country? Let's not even go south of the border. That's another picture. But here in Canada.
We're in trouble. We cannot sustain our healthcare system unless people change their lifestyle, which is why it's so important. And I think that you've got Pam on your show for an hour a week to talk about these issues is critical. It really comes down to lifestyle and making choices to improve your lifestyle.
Now how do...
You know, a pill for every ill is a quick fix, and we have to realize there is no quick fix, especially right now to our healthcare system. In Ontario, consuming about 50% of the budget, we're going to go broke as a province. There'll be no money for any of the programming. It's going to be going to healthcare.
But how do we make doctors or pharmaceutical companies accountable? Doctors are too busy to do the research, right? They're just being told by their drug rep, prescribe this drug, it's safe, it's fine, blah, blah, blah. They don't have the time to do the research. The pharmaceutical companies are paying for their own research, and that's what Health Canada is using to basically determine their decisions upon. So how do we make individuals or corporations accountable?
Well, you know, single-handedly, I've got to give credit to Terrence Young and the Conservative MP from Oakville. His daughter, Vanessa, died in 2000 at 15 years of age from a side effect of a heartburn drug. She had a heart attack right in front of him and died in front of him just heading up the stairs. And he has been working hard for the last several years to get a bill on the table. It's now Bill C-17. And it really is a bill. It's known as, you know, Protecting Canadians from Unsafe Drugs Act. And this is the first time the federal government through Health Canada is actually going to be holding pharmaceutical companies truly accountable, even though, you know, it may seem like it's not a lot, but for criminal and civil penalties where they are withholding information about side effects and they'll be able to take drugs off the market. And to me, one of the most important pieces of this bill is that drug companies right now in the United States for the last 21 years, they've been fined about $30 billion in fines. And there are some companies that are more corrupt than others. And these are penalties for fraud, for off-label promotions by their pharmaceutical sales reps. You know, GlaxoSmithKline is accountable for about 25% of those fines. Pfizer's second, about 9%, and the numbers go down. So there are a couple of core companies that in this country, I believe it's been a prescription drug haven for them. They get fined for the same penalties in Canada, up to $5,000 a day right now. Now think about $5,000 to a pharmaceutical company making billions. If this bill gets passed into law, it's going to be called Vanessa's Law, and it might take a while. It's got to go through three readings in the House, three readings in the Senate, and then get royal assent. But pharmaceutical companies in Canada will be fined from $5,000 a day up to $5 million a day. Plus, if there's criminal intent, even more, and jail time for corporate executives, which makes this stronger legislation in the U.S. We need this law. That's what's going to make the difference. We need to hold pharmaceutical companies accountable to make sure that people understand what they're consuming, because up until now, even doctors aren't aware of the serious side effects. They just let it slide. They haven't been held accountable.
Anne, you want to jump in with a comment? Go ahead.
I wanted to say congratulations, Andy, and to your guest, you know, for speaking about this. It is a crisis, but more importantly, this is organized crime. That is who is bringing this in the United States. There are doctors making massive amounts of money getting illegal kickbacks, and Eli Lilly is another big-time player. And now we have this in Canada, and it also involves the child welfare system because they're using foster children literally as guinea pigs for illegal drug testing. We have it now, Andy, in Canada, and particularly Ontario, and it is organized crime, and it absolutely must be dealt with.
And great call. Is there anything in there, David, that you don't agree with?
Children in families in Ontario works are five times more likely to be on psychiatric drugs and prescription drugs. And if they're in foster care, 10 times more likely. They are being used as guinea pigs for testing.
Oh, I've witnessed it myself, David. I had a couple of foster kids and I've seen them used as guinea pigs for the pharmaceutical industry. And I saw nothing but devastation from it.
David,
organized crime.
David, quick question before we go to the break. Who do we trust to fix all of this? Our politicians? We have the Deputy Premier of Ontario right here in Ontario lurching from one crisis to the other. If you watch the movie Clueless, I've been watching for her, but she wasn't in it, but she's got her own movie going. One crisis after another. Do we trust our politicians? Do we trust our drug companies? David, who can we trust on this issue?
You know, this has to be a people's movement. I've been meeting with an organization called People's Rights to Integrative Medicine, and it's an organization that's just forming. They're getting off the ground, but I'll tell you, they've got the right messaging. It really has to be a people's movement. people have to stand up and say enough is enough. And then politicians might listen because their bottom line is getting reelected. And people have to say, you know what, I don't want those drugs. Or I don't want this particular brand of drug if I need a drug at all. So it really is going to be a people's movement. That's what we can trust. Other people who have dealt with, sadly, to me, my strongest ally is the people who have lost loved ones to the side effects of psychiatric drugs.
Okay, we have to take a short break. We'll be back with David Carmichael. He's about to climb on a bicycle to help educate Canadians about this absolutely crucial issue. We have a healthcare crisis, and most people simply aren't aware. We'll be back in just a moment with David Carmichael and Pam Killeen right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
London.
Oh, David Carmichael and Pam Killeen will very much enjoy, if that's the right word, this piece by Bill Maher. I just have to get it in. Folks, it has two things which are amazing. A tremendous humor, tremendous education about the issues that we're talking about. Roll it, Ryan.
And finally, new rule, if you believe you need to take all the pills the pharmaceutical industry says you do, then you're already on drugs. Yes, it's that time in the campaign where all the candidates are presenting their health care proposals. Hillary's covers children's teeth. Edwards has one that includes maintaining gorgeous shiny hair. And Barack Obama's involves going on Oprah and everyone gets a gastric bypass. But none of the plans address the real problem. We won't stop being sick until we stop making ourselves sick. Because there is a point where even the most universal government health program can't help you. They can't outlaw unhealthy food or alcohol or cigarettes. Just pot, sadly. Because, you see, the government isn't your nanny. They're your dealer. And they subsidize illness in America.
Mm.
They have to. There's too much money in it. You see, there's no money in healthy people. And there's no money in dead people. The money is in the middle. People who are alive, sort of. But with one or more chronic conditions that puts them in need of Celebrex or Nasonex or Valtrex or Lunesta. 50 years ago, children didn't even get type 2 diabetes. Now, it's an emerging epidemic, as are a long list of ailments which used to be rare and have now been mainstreamed. Things like asthma and autism and acid reflux and arthritis, allergies, adult acne, attention deficit disorder. And that's just the A's. Doesn't anybody wonder why we live with all this illness? I'll tell you why. At the L.A. County Fair last week, they were serving something called fried Coke. Now, my first thought was, gosh, what a waste of a perfectly good eight ball. But no, they actually pour the Coca-Cola syrup into a deep fryer.
Oh, my God.
Then put it in a cup and top it with sugar and whipped cream and a cherry because, you know, fruit is good for you. Would it really be that much more unhealthy to get molested by one of the carnies? In Hillary Clinton's health plan, the words nutrition and exercise appear once. The word drugs, 14 times. Just as the pharmaceutical companies want it. You know, their ad weasels love to say, when diet and exercise fail. Well, diet and exercise don't fail. A fact brought home last week by a new Duke University study that showed exercise, yes, exercise, is just as effective a cure for depression as Paxil and Zoloft. So ask your doctor if getting off your ass is right for you. You know, if Republicans can sell the idea of preemptive war, Democrats have to at least get us interested in the idea of preventive medicine. Someone has to stand up and say that the answer isn't another pill. The answer is spinach.
Wow, that's an absolutely brilliant piece. Let me, David Carmichael, just get your reaction to what you just heard.
Oh, you used the word. It was brilliant. And we need more Bill Maher's going out and delivering the message in a way that people will listen. And, you know, entertainment works, you know, and there's documentaries coming out. American Addict is a new documentary that has dealt with this issue. There's others that are coming out. And it really is about trying to engage people in a way that people can be engaged.
Okay, now, you're about to climb on a bicycle and come to London. Tell us about your marathon bike ride while you're doing it.
Well, it's going to take me a while to get to London, but on June 3rd, which is the 10th anniversary of when Health Canada came out with a warning that antidepressants, people can harm themselves and others than antidepressants. And it's a warning that I believe most Canadians today still aren't aware of, and many GPs don't even talk to the patients about side effects.
What is the warning?
The warning is that people on antidepressants, this came out 10 years ago almost, you know, June 3rd, 2004, that people on antidepressants, particularly SSRIs, a category of antidepressants, can harm themselves and or others on these drugs of all ages. It wasn't just children and youth or older adults, it was all ages. And that warning came out just a few months before our family tragedy out in London. And June 3rd, I'm going to start on a bike in Halifax on a bridge where an individual named Tuukka Gomberg jumped off of 4 weeks after being on a drug called Remeron, which is the same drug that Tony Scott, a producer-director from Los Angeles, was on when he jumped off a bridge in L.A. a couple of years ago. And I'm going to start on that bridge. And it was March 3rd, 2004, that Tuukka Gomberg took his own life. And now Risk.org is partnered with Tuukka Gomberg Greenspiration Fund to do this ride. I'm going to ride through Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, Quebec, Ontario, delivering presentations on the way called Know Your Drugs. One-hour presentations from 2 to 3 p.m. in public libraries. And my plan is to finish that ride, sadly, on the 10th anniversary of Ian's death in London, Ontario, on July 31st, hopefully be able to get on show with you and Pam again. It's a Thursday. Hopefully from 10 to 11, I'll do an interview with you. And then 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the local public library, I'd like to finish off doing my final presentation called Know Your Drugs in the London Public Library, which would be 59 days after I started the ride.
Let me give you the next 2 minutes to put this all in a little box and put a bow on it. What is the message, David?
Well, the message is really that people have to know what they're consuming. I mean, we do it for many other products, but we just assume that the doctor's prescribed it, that it's healthy. That, well, if there was a side effect, my doctor would tell me. Doctors sometimes don't know the side effects themselves. So it's not about blaming the doctor. The CPS, the Compendium of Pharmaceuticals and Specialties, is over 3,000 pages thick. And in fact, even with my forensic psychiatrist at the Brockville Mental Health Center, when I broke my silence 2 years after everything happened on July 31st, 2006, I broke my silence, which called CTVW5 interested. And Pam had talked about a YouTube video. It's called Paxil-Induced Homicide. If people want to Google it, it's 10 minutes. It's from CTVW5, 2007. And I even mentioned to my friends and psychiatrist that in the CPS that psychosis is listed as a rare side effect of Paxil, and he wasn't aware. And this goes back to 2006. He was not aware. And when I broke my silence, GlaxoSmithKline picked up the phone, called the Brockville Mental Health Center, and said he's slandering GlaxoSmithKline. And you know what? My message from my treating friends and psychiatrist was, David, you're in uncharted waters, but this is an important issue, and it doesn't need to be raised.
But more and more cases are coming forward, David. I mean, you're collaborating with people all over North America where these types of tragedies have occurred.
Well, it's all over the world. You know, the people that I deal with on a day-to-day basis, because Risk.org is a global company, Denmark, I'll tell you where the focus now on clinical trials is going to be India and China. And in fact, GlaxoSmithKline has just been nailed for corruption in China. They've lost huge amounts of revenue. For all the things that your caller called in, if I recall, her name was Anne, and she was talking about organized crime. That's exactly what they tried to set up in China. These issues are surfacing globally. To me, Canada has been a prescription drug haven. They've been very well protected in this country. I hope that stops soon.
David, we're going to wish you all the best. We so look forward to you joining us in studio at the end of that marathon bicycle ride. Let me ask you this. You have lived through a tragedy and the lingering effects of it go on. You lost your son. Is it therapeutic for you to know that through that tragedy, you and your son, in fact, are helping others to avoid the same tragedy?
You know, it's therapeutic, but, you know, Andy, you never recover from the loss. You know, and every day, I think of you several times. If we can do some good out of this tragedy, that's great. And I do believe Ian is with me on this ride and this journey. It's incredibly painful. And as I said, you never recover from it. But, you know, you dig deep for your resiliency and knowing that people like yourself, Andy and Pam, are prepared to deal with the issues in mainstream media, which is very hard to get this type of discussion going. You know, it keeps me going.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, we appreciate you and everything you're doing. For this bike ride, is there a website or any social media that you're setting up so people can follow what you're doing?
It'll all be set up. We just literally decided, you know, just last week that we were going to move ahead with this. So it'll be done to wrist.org, rxisk.org. We'll probably have Facebook. I'll have a GoPro camera. I'll be Twittering. You know, or tweeting. You know, we'll be making sure that people are with us on this journey.
Okay, you're traveling from Halifax to London. What are the prevailing winds, David?
We haven't done that much research yet, but I expect it's going to be an interesting journey.
Terrific. Well, we look forward.
Bon voyage, my dear.
I'm sure we'll talk to you long before then, but we look forward to that. David, all the best. You're a great guy.
Well, I appreciate being on your show.
Terrific.
Thanks, David.
Okay, you have.
I'm doing part two of my nutrition boot camp this coming Saturday. And like David and I mentioned earlier, we have to educate people about the importance of animal fat in the diet. It's animal fat that is crucial in terms of stabilizing mood.